Welcome back to this episode of the Your Daily Pass podcast.
You're here with your co-hosts, Fiona Daly and Courtney Passfield.
We are bringing back another beautiful, raw and authentic, unedited conversation for you guys to listen to.
So enjoy.
Hi, I'm Monica. We're here for a chat and I really hope you enjoy what we talk about today on Your Daily Pass.
Courtney, it's a conversations with.
It is a conversations with. And I mean, I just love any time that somebody shows up and it's just like, you know what, here, guys, I'm here to have raw, authentic, beautiful conversation. Let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation where we both feel like we've been put here to help people, you know, step into their authentic self, to help find their worth, you know. When you just get to have a conversation with somebody that's just like, you know what, we're here for nothing other than to help and give love, it's always going to be a good chat.
It's always, and I love having that little chat where you get a chance to find out what someone truly believes.
Yes.
And to hear it from Monica, she's just like, this is what I believe. And I'm like, fucking me too, because that's great. Like,
exactly.
Just wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this chat and I'm looking forward to sharing with everybody.
Yes.
So Monica Schwemmen, thank you so much for joining us on Your Daily Pass.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, we are too. Let's bring the energy and let's bring your conversation to a light, because I'd love to know what makes you you, and what, like, when did you kind of get to the space where you thought, you know what, I want to help people, and in my way, this is how I'm going to do it.
Well, you know, it's a long story, and I'll try to keep it as short as I can. But I mean, in short, you know, I had a lot of trauma growing up. I had a lot of things happen to me early in my life. You know, I really had a lot of teenage angst as a teenager. I was a partier. I was doing a lot of things, now looking back, you know, out of not having self-love for myself, not knowing my worth. If you know anything about like the A6 score, mine's pretty high. Okay. And so I just wanted to shut my brain down, you know, growing up. I remember being a teenager and just being like, oh my God, I just want to shut my brain down. I just can't shut it up, you know? And so, I mean, I turned to booze and I turned to, you know, smoking, and I turned to some other things. And fast forward to, you know, there's a few turning points in my life. I remember sitting on my friend's couch. I just graduated high school and I was like, man, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. What can I do? And I was like, oh, I could go to college. Because I always made good grades. So I went to college, completed it, art and philosophy degree, loved it. And then I ended up moving back to Montana, and I had broken an engagement in Texas. And, you know, I just needed a change. And so I moved to Montana, and this was really when my healing started to happen. That's really when I started to switch gears and start taking care of myself. You know, when I moved to Montana, there was one essential lesson that I learned. I was from Texas originally, and if you know anything about the South and the States, it's Southern hospitality, and you don't air your dirty laundry, okay? And so you're in a good mood. Things are great. I mean, it's really fake to me. And so when I moved to Montana, I learned you could have a bad day. Like, you could be like, you know, my day's it's not that good. And people would be like, oh, okay, cool. And they move about their day. And I that was a really eye-opening thing for me, because it was truth, right? We were allowed to live in truth. And it was authentic. And so I hit rock bottom in Montana, though. I was dating this addict who was stealing from me and pretty mentally abusive. And, you know, that was rock bottom for me. I remember one night he got really bad. And the next day I had to change my locks and kick him out. And he ended up passing away a couple weeks later, but that was rock bottom. You know, there's these moments in our life, if you've ever hit your healing journey, if you've ever really gone through something, when you hit that rock bottom, it's like, I just remember going, why? I'm not a dumb person. What was I doing? You know? And that really started me on an upward, right? All you can do when you hit rock bottom is start climbing your way up. And so I started climbing my way up. And one thing that really helped me during that time is I was going to what's called Al-Anon meetings. And I learned that I was codependent. I had no idea what codependency was. And I was like, oh my God, that's me. I'm here pleasing people, not living for myself, right? And so that realization was amazing for me. And that started my healing journey. And then the other realization for me was that I always wasn't being a good person to people. When you're growing up, you think that you're this great person. And when you stop and reflect sometimes, it's not that you're a bad person. It's just that you weren't being the kindest person. You know, I used to be able to, used to manipulate a little bit to get what I wanted because I'm really intelligent and I was able to do that. I'm also very empathic, so I could read people's emotional state. So those were some big lessons, but I'm going to tell you the number one thing that really knocked me where I'm at today, fast forward, was having my first daughter. She's 12 now. And so when I had my first daughter, I remember being like, I don't want her to grow up in a drinking household. I don't want her to grow up with a smoking mother. I want her to grow up in a house where she has the best possible chance. You know, I don't want her to grow up with the trauma. I need to be a better person for myself, but for her. And so that really snowballed my healing journey. Pretty heavily. And I had to relearn everything. I had to learn how to cope with emotions without alcohol. I had to learn how to cope with life. I had to learn how to have fun. I mean, I grew up, you know, you had fun by drinking. I mean, you went to the concert, you drank, you went bowling, you drank. You weren't having fun unless you could drink. And that was a lot, you know, of how I grew up. And so I had to reprogram a lot of that in my brain. It was like, I had to learn how to have fun just being myself. And so I really had to start learning who I was. I mean, when you take away all that stuff, you're left with yourself. And when you're left with yourself, you really got to start talking to yourself and being kind to yourself and really listening to yourself. And so I started doing that slowly. And I mean, my daughter's 12 now. Okay, so this is 12 years that it's taken me to get to the point that I'm at, and it didn't happen overnight, you know. And then fast forward, my daughter, I went back to college and I became a teacher. When my daughter was 2, I had another daughter, who's now 6, and I just kept working on myself, you know, baby steps, slow steps. Just a lot of it was just, you know, assessing, you know, if I'd react in a certain way, assessing why and trying to tweak it and all that jazz. And then I found, one day I was like, you know, I really want to take a Reiki course. I've always been really good at energy. I felt like I've always been able to feel people's energy, being an emotional empath. And so I was like, I need to take this course. So honestly, I signed up for an Udemy course, became a master Reiki. And I sat on it for like 4 months and was like, okay, I'm just going to sit here. And then one day I remember hearing a voice in my head going, you better call your friend who owns a salon and you better ask her for a room or someone else is going to do what you want to do. And so I called her that day and jumped into my energy healing path. And I'll tell you, energy healing was really eye-opening for me. It really helped me tap into that place, you know, really tap into the universe, but it really helped me start learning how to trust myself. And that right now is something that I try to drive home with my clients is trust. In fact, it's been my word for 2.5 years now, because until you can trust yourself, you can't fully live in the moment. And so I started working on that and working on unconditional self-love through getting healing myself, taking courses. And it brings me to today. And now I just enjoy helping people do what I've done. You know, it's like in high school, if I would have stopped there, I don't know where I would be right now. You know, if I wouldn't have kept pushing and moving and forgave myself for things that I've done, lived with grace, lived with compassion, I wouldn't have known. And so I really like to help people understand that every moment is a new moment to take action and, you know, be your better version of yourself. I guess making a long story really short.
That is absolutely beautiful. And there's been a few things that I've sort of jotted down and really kind of sparked me along the way. But one of the first things was about that having fun. And I think in this day and age, it's, you know, life is so busy, and I hate using that as an excuse because I don't feel like it is an excuse. But at the same time, there can be days where, you know, for us, we sit around our dinner table and say, what was the best part of your day to the kids? You know, Fiona and I, we both have our own children, and it's something that we've both implemented. And sometimes, you know, when it's your turn to say what was fun for you, you're like, oh, I didn't really actually leave time or pencil in time for fun, you know, or enjoyment or something like that, you know, like, so it seems such a simple thing, but it's actually one of the biggest things that we can be doing is just giving ourselves the permission and the time and the love and the compassion enough to go, this life is meant to be fun. Bring the fun. Where can you bring the fun to everyday life? Because I get things still have to happen. Dinner still has to be made. You know, life still has to happen, right? But it's sort of stepping back and going, where can I bring that fun?
Absolutely. It's also finding joy in the chaos.
Mm.
It's finding joy in those moments where you feel like there is no joy. I mean, part of finding the fun is living in the moment. It's being here. It's not, you know, a lot of people on their healing journeys or in life, they're always, and in art, that's why I use art all the time. You're always looking at that final piece, like, oh, I just need to get here. And then I need to get here. But where are you in the process? Like, where are you when you're getting there? When you're driving in the car, when you're walking up the stairs, when you're cooking dinner, like, what are you doing then? And I feel like the secret too is finding fun in those moments. You know, mm-hmm. even when your kids are screaming at you and you want to sit in a ball and you want to cry, it's like just trying to find that joy in the chaos. And it might not be fun per se, but there is joy in the moment.
Yes. You know? Yeah, finding joy in the chaos. That's a really great one.
Yeah, I've written that down because I just love that.
Yeah.
And every moment's a new moment.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's one of those things, like, at the end of the day, if you're looking for negativity, you're going to find it, right? So it's kind of like giving yourself that grace to go, you know what, right now I'm going to find the joy. I'm going to find the fun. Like, it might not be smacking me in the face, but I'm going to find it because I get to.
Absolutely. And allowing yourself to have the moments, you know, like, I mean, I cried this morning. I just sat down on my floor and I cried because my kids were not getting dressed and they were not going out the door, and I just reached my moment. But it's letting yourself feel that in the moment. It's letting yourself process it. It's not shame spiraling or putting shame to anything you do. And then it's getting up and dusting yourself off and just, it's being in each moment and realizing, okay, well, here I go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, just living in that and allowing the feelings. I think that's the thing. We kind of push that aside. It's like, I'm not allowed to feel that because I'm trying to show my kids my best all the time or things like that, but you're not showing them you're real.
Right. Mm. You're not being authentic. You're not showing. And honestly, if you don't feel your feelings, then they're going to stick around.
Yes.
You know, you got to let them go. I mean, you got to process them. And we do live in a society where if you're not feeling anything but happy, then you feel like you're failing. And it's an absolute lie. That's not a truth. It's one of those false beliefs. I mean, you're actually winning because we're here to be human, right? Exactly. What do humans do? We feel.
Positive vibes only and this and that. Oh. It's like, no. That is not.
It's toxic positivity.
That's exactly right. It's toxic positivity. That's exactly right. You also spoke beautifully about learning how to trust yourself. And I think that is something that, once again, in this world, because we probably haven't let ourselves have feelings, so then we've faked it until we make it. So then we kind of get the stage that you're actually not allowed to trust yourself. Let's talk about that. Let's dive into trust.
Trust. And it's so big. I mean, I try to get a word in a year that I really work on. And trust has been my year, my word since 2021. And things I've learned, and I still work on it. It still is something that I catch. But I do have to say this, just being aware is the first step in anything. I mean, it's energetically healing in its own right. Awareness is how you bring those things from the subconscious into the conscious, right? And so being aware of where and how you're trusting yourself. When we don't trust ourselves, we live in a lot of anxiety because we're trying to control what's going to happen because we don't want something bad to happen.
Yes.
And when we start to like focus in on our trust, then we are able to step into the moment. You're actually not. I don't believe you're able to really step into the moment fully until you do trust or start to be aware of that trust, right? You don't have to be perfect to trust, but to be aware, because when we step into the moment, it's scary because we're letting go of control, which we actually don't have. That is an illusion, but we're letting go of that illusion. And we have to trust that we are going to be able to react the way that we need to react. We're going to be able to handle what is thrown at us. And if we can't, or like if we don't react in the way that we think we should, we're able to go, oh, okay, I'm going to change this next time and trust that we're going to change it next time and let it go, right? Mm-hmm. You have to just let it go because moments pass and they're not yet here. So they're like, this is where we're at. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yes. I just had this conversation yesterday actually with somebody and we were talking about, you know, the big moments in your life and us trying to, you know, control them. Like you say, we're not trusting ourselves as much. And my daughter was born with spina bifida and we were having a conversation about that. And I said, so she's had 8 surgeries and she's 5 now. And I was saying to this lady, like, you build such a beautiful relationship with her team and you all just rely on so much trust that our most relaxed, I suppose, we were during one of Elena's surgeries was her biggest surgery. And I remember her surgeon saying it was about the second or third time it was ever done in the world. But because we had so much trust for this man, we both kind of just, my husband and I were like, I can't believe how much, you know, we're so relaxed here. And it made the entire experience so much better because we just had so much trust in Dan and his team and then in the nurses. And it's just one of those things. It's like when you trust yourself that you're doing the right thing and you put that trust in others, everything just comes together so beautifully.
No, it really does. And I think you hit something too on the trust of others. You know, we have to assume that everyone's going to do the best they can, right? That's where judgment comes in too. Judgment's another whole nother podcast in its own right. But, you know, we have to take away that judgment. Judgment is opinion and we have to live in truth and we have to believe that people are doing the best that they can in any given situation. Sometimes their best isn't like our best, but we have to trust that they're doing their best. And if they're not doing their best, it's still the best that they're able to, if that makes sense. And yes. So I think you hit a lot on like, yeah, trust in yourself because you don't have control. You don't have control over anything except what you do in this moment. That's the only thing you do. Like what are you going to do in this moment? You don't have control of anything outside of you. You don't have control if you have a flat tire. You don't have control if someone walks into your room, but you do have control of, do you trust yourself to act in that situation? You know?
Yes. I know you just said judgments for another podcast, but the fact that quote that you just said, that judgment is just an opinion of you know, well, just an opinion, like judgment is just an opinion. I think that is something that is so beautiful. And I really want our listeners to let that wash over them because whether you judge yourself, whether you feel judgment coming at you or whether you're judging other people, it is just your opinion. It doesn't mean it's the truth. And I think that's absolutely so beautifully said because we can easily mislead judgment. And let's, for instance, say, just talk about judgment on ourselves, right? Because then at least, you know, we're just talking about ourselves. But it is so easy to judge yourself in what you're not doing and how you're not and how you're, you know, and all of those sort of things. But that's just an opinion. And when you look at it like that, it also creates this space between you and that judgment and you and that opinion and goes, well, if it's just an opinion that I'm having, I can also choose to have another opinion. Like, and I think that's what's so beautiful about it. And when you really let it wash over you, that space it creates is that judgment is just an opinion and you get to choose your opinions. So you get to choose that opinion of yourself, of people around you, or however you're using judgment.
Yeah. Don't you feel like judgment also comes from an assumption?
Yes.
You know, like it's such an assuming thing, isn't it? To be like, you know, you judge yourself because you're assuming that somebody thinks this of you or they think that of you, or you're judging, you know, others based on something else, and it all comes down to assumption and no communication.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think because, you know, with judgment, when you are judging somebody, you're normally putting them on this sort of pedestal or this higher hierarchy or something, you know, something in those sort of
– a step of some sort.
Yeah, exactly. You're normally doing that, but you're also not allowing yourself to look at what they've had to do to achieve that or look behind the scenes. You're just looking at it at surface face, yeah, aren't you?
Based off the highlight reel.
Based off the highlight reel.
I like that one, based off the highlight reel. I'm going to write that down. Yeah, it's opinion. It's not truth. You know, I go back to that. What is the truth? You know, there's basic truths and there's a ton of false beliefs that we have. That's part of, you know, shadow work too. So judgment is actually when you're judging someone else, which we all do, take a moment to think about why and then bring that into yourself. Okay. Because people often judge you and you often judge people based on shadows that you keep hidden in your closet, beliefs about yourself that you don't want anyone to know about. That's what those shadow works are. Right. And so yeah, it's actually an opportunity to heal, right?
Yes.
Like it's an opportunity to go, okay, I'm going to look in the mirror and, oh, this woman, because I mean, I've had it, right? I mean, there's certain women that are strong and successful and all of a sudden I'll feel this like twing of something. And now I'm able to be like, well, why? They're beautiful. They're amazing. Why am I feeling that? And now I'm able to like find it and be like, oh, it's because I have this belief about myself, right? I believe that I'm not worthy of this. Or, I mean, there's, and so then you're able to grab it and give it a hug and bring it into the light and really start to shine that unconditional love on it, if that makes sense.
It's a good way to work on yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That shadow work. I love the way that terminology, you know, that's beautiful. Like, yeah, that it's shadow work and what you're doing is you're bringing that into the light, you're taking it out of the shadows and giving it a hug. And what did I just say terminologically?
I don't know, bro. Just,
what sort of word is that?
Terminology.
Terminology is a word.
This
so
is
if
why
you,
I'm here.
Exactly. I just said it out and I went, hang on a minute. Where are you going with this, Courtney? But you know what I was going with that, guys, don't you? I mean, you know, to bring that into the light and really, like you said, you talked about, you know, at the end of the day, you weren't judging that thought. You were just literally giving it love and connection and grace and working through each step of that. And I think that's gorgeous. I think that's what we need to do a lot more of.
Absolutely. And unconditional love is loving yourself where you're at right now, no matter what, right? We always are like, well, if I do this, I'm going to be a better person. And if I do this, you know, then I really like myself then. And it's like, well, here's the thing is perfectionism doesn't exist. Okay. You can't strive to be perfect. Where it exists is right now as you are. Like you are perfect as you are. It doesn't matter where you're at, but you have, until you love yourself now, until you take those, because when you have those shadows, that's another place anxiety comes from, because you're worried about the judgment of other people because you don't want them to see that part of yourself, right? So you're worried someone's going to find it and they're going to judge you. But when you bring that shadow to the light yourself and you're like, oh, there's this part of me and I want to work on it, but God, I love you. You know, you're a part of me and I love you. And why don't you walk into the light with me while we work on these things that we want to work on? You take that power away from that judgment, right? Because it's like someone else be like, oh, this is happening. You go, yeah, I know. It's okay. I love them. You know what I mean? Like, it's really this power, like unconditional. Like people are like, I love myself. And it's like, I'm sure you do. but do you love yourself? Like, do you love the hard parts of yourself that you want to change, not even need to. And it also brings me back to when you were like, you can change your opinion. Yeah. We create these weird rules for ourselves all the time. Like, I need to be like this. I shoulds. Everyone's like, don't go shooting on yourself, right? Yeah, don't go shooting yourself. I mean, but we make these rules and then we're like, oh wait, I made that rule. Like, who made, you know, it's a stupid rule. I get to change that stupid rule, you know? Yes. And I know I jumped in two places at once. I have an ADD brain, so I apologize about that.
No, I love that because I was following that too.
Yeah, exactly. That is so good. One thing we cannot go any further without talking
because we're super, super curious
about, and even when you first mentioned it, our ears pricked, that's for sure. The soul purpose mapping. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, soul purpose mapping. There's this amazing healer in town, and she she became a hand analysis. I don't know if she's a master yet, but she might be. You have to read over like certain number of hands to be a master, but she started she started tailoring her sessions in this way. And so she created this course of soul purpose mapping using hand analysis. And when I got it done with her, it rocked my world. It's like this map for this life that you get to kind of go back to and look at. And so what it does is, first of all, like our fingerprints on our hands, they don't ever change. Okay. We're born with them. They're the same throughout our whole life. Then there's lines on our hands and markers that come and go as we live our life, which you would never know, but they do. And so what soul purpose mapping, you actually take prints of your hand, and it can be done virtually anywhere, right? You take prints of your hand, and then we look at your fingerprints, and then we look at different things in your hand. And so I'm not a hand analysis, but I look for certain things in your hand. Okay. And so you can learn your consciousness. So I think of our consciousness as like our rose colored sunglasses, right? Like the way we see the world. How are we seeing the world? You can learn the lessons that you're here to learn. Okay. And then you learn the purpose flow that you're meant to step into. And by working from getting from the negative of our consciousness to the negative, to the positive, right? And then getting from the negative of our lesson to the positive, we automatically step into our purpose flow in this life. And so when we get this done, it was just so intriguing to me. And so I get to do it, and it's intuitively led too, because sometimes the hands don't want to print in certain areas, right? Or the way that a person's hand connects and flows is just so amazing and so interesting. But what happens is now when you get this done, that you're able to go, oh, why am I feeling out of whack? Oh, I'm in my lesson. I'm in my lesson right now. This is my lesson. Here's what I need to do to get out of that negative flow of my lesson. I need to risk failure. I need to take action. I need to hop off the fence. I mean, there's so many different lessons, right? That's it in a nutshell, really. That's sense.
Very cute. We're both sitting here.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I got a lot of lines.
Look at my head.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
But it's so curious. It's amazing just to think that you can learn all this about yourself.
Well, you really can. And Richard Unger was a pioneer in like the fingerprints, and he started noticing these like trends that were happening. And so it's interesting too, like soul purpose mapping, you know, I do energy healing and it's woo-woo, a lot of people think. And although it's not, it's very scientific. However, it gets this reputation of being a little woo-woo. But soul purpose mapping it's scientifically based. I mean, it's research based. There was a lot of research that was done to get there. So it's a really awesome stepping stone for people who aren't quite there. Because even if you don't believe in like, you know, past lives or things like that, like epigenetics is also another way. Like epigenetics is real. We carry this trauma with us too, you know, that it's generational trauma. And it's a really cool place to start to be able to help people that would normally not reach out for other kind of coaching or help, I guess.
What's beautiful is there's so many different modalities out there now that we can help to, well, that we can use to help ourselves, right? And I just love that you can do them and reach people all over the world to be able to create what's right for you. So if something doesn't feel right, know that there is other things out there and there's things that you can change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And working with your hand, like that's not scary. Do you know what I mean? Like there's so right. many really amazing things that you can have done, but I feel like people are like, oh, that's a bit scary. I don't know what that's going to be. It might be confronting. I might find out things I don't really want to know. I just want to know the good. And so starting with your hand is just a really nice – I don't want to say it's a nice way to dip your toe in because I feel like you're going to find out all the things that you didn't think you were going to find out, but it's less invasive potentially.
Yes. Yeah, that invasiveness is probably the way. Yeah.
Mm. That's really sparked my interest. Curiosity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's concrete a little bit more than like getting on someone's table and wondering what they're going to find in your energy, you know, like, you know what you're getting with hand analysis, like, you know, the map that you're mapping out. So I love that you said that. It's true.
Yeah.
I also love that you said, find your modality. Cause a lot of the times people will go get Reiki down there. Like, I don't like it. And it's like, well, you got to find your hairdresser, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't just go to anybody.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. You know? So it's the same with healing techniques. You got to find your hairdresser, you know?
So is there different parts on the hands that are for different things or?
Yeah, there's different sections on the hand. You know, a lot of it is aligned with like the different planets. Like there's, you know, Mars, is up here, your moon area, like your moon area is right here. Pluto's right here. You have Jupiter, here, and you have
really, so
I say this is, yeah. So it's like different areas on your hand.
Yeah. Like,
go ahead.
Would we say this is the ball of your hand?
Yeah. So on the palm of your hand. So just for our listeners to have a little bit of an idea, there's different sections, for different planets. Wow. You've just totally.
You blow my mind. I did not think you were going to say that.
I didn't think you were going to say planets. No, like I thought you were going to mean like, okay, kids are on this side of the hand. And actually, I went to somebody once.
Palm reader.
Might have been a very, very long time ago. Like, I mean, I was still in high school. And she read the side of my hands, right? And I'm pretty sure it was on my right hand. It's kind of like the very edge of your hand before, you know, on the side.
Your karate chop bit.
That's perfect, Fiona. Great job. Anyway, there was three lines there. And Fiona, I'll point them to you because obviously you'll be able to see how those two are like that. And then there's a third one.
Yeah, yeah.
She always told me I was going to have three kids and two were going to be very close together. Well, I have twins.
Funny.
Yeah, so I have, does not make sense because I didn't know I was going to have twins.
We're looking at mine. I've got two lines really close together and I've only got two singletons, so.
But like, I have three lines and I had three kids. I mean, that might be something, but I also don't know because it was a long time ago.
No, I remember getting that done in high school as well. And I have two lines and I have two kids, but I don't look at that. But I think you're absolutely right on that. I mean, right here.
Yeah.
I remember getting that red.
On your karate chop. Yeah.
I remember that.
What else do you call that bit? It's definitely your karate chop.
I don't know. People the side. Yeah, I think I like karate chop. We'll just stick with that. But but yeah, it's funny. I don't look at that, but the different section of your hands, I think it's the planets because you think about like the archetypes of like you can even think about like Greek mythology a little bit and think about the archetypes of like Mercury, right? Oh. Like a lot of that tells you like if you find a marker in that hand, it tells you what that is, you know, like kind of leans towards the characteristics, I guess, of that planet. It's pretty interesting.
That is super, super interesting. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yes. I feel like everybody needs to know a little bit more about this. Do you have some special words of wisdom for soul mapping hand analysis?
Some words of wisdom
spirit fingering. Doing this thing.
honestly, I use it for, I use it in my coaching containers and my transformations as a starting point for clients. It really helps give us a place to start our healing journey, right? If they come to me and I'm like, they want to keep coming to me and they want me to help coach them through things. If we print out their hands, then we can, sorry, I'm going to do this. If we print out their hands, then we have a place to start.
Ooh, right? Like that.
So it's like, I mean, I can start anywhere, but it's like we have this map, because it really, it is this map for this life. It's like, how do we get you into your energy flow? How do we get you into that purpose energy? You know, a lot of what happens in my sessions is I give people the permission almost to be the big energy they always knew they were supposed to be, but they kept themselves small for so long. Or I give them the permission to step onto the stage because they're meant to be in the spotlight. Or I give them the permission to be the artist, that the creator that they always knew they were supposed to be. I mean, it's really an awesome job, because yeah, we talk about some tough things like your lesson, and people get hit a little bit, but it's like almost validation of like, oh yeah, I've really, you know, cause some people struggle more with fear of failure than others. Like yeah. For some people, fear of failure, I mean, it's always hard, but for some people it's debilitating. And so to hear that coming from someone and they're like, oh, thank God, you know, like, and it almost gives them that power to be able to push through, if that yes. makes sense. Like, it's a really rewarding job, and it's a great starting place in anyone's healing journey. I mean, if you've never had it done, I just recommend, and there's not a lot of us out there. You can Google, you know, you can find me, my friend's website. She has all hers on there, but I'm going to say there's not many of us out there right now.
I feel like, to like give it a nutshell, it is your manual as to who you are. Yes. You know, like people are just trying to work out who they are, but it's really like, it's like getting the instructions for yourself. Your manual.
And don't we always joke about like wishing we had instructions come with us? There you go.
Absolutely. And it's a place to go back to. It's like, oh, I'm sitting, you know, in my consciousness right now. I'm in the negative of my consciousness right now. You know, I'm struggling with unlovability. You know, I'm feeling like I'm not loved. Oh, I need to, oh, that's a lie. And it just almost like I said before, it, when you become aware of things, it's energy healing in its own right. And so it brings this awareness to it. It brings those things from that subconscious into the conscious, and brings this awareness that's a good starting point for anything.
Yeah.
So if some of our beautiful listeners want to work with you, where do we find you? Where are your socials? Where are you at? How do they communicate with you?
Oh, many places. You know, I have a website, and it's artfullyintuitive.com or mamakaintheraw.com. They're the same site. You can find me on Instagram under Mamaka, not Monica, but Mamaka in the Raw. And then you can find me on Facebook under Monica Schwimmen, but my business page, Artfully Intuitive LLC, is there as well. And those are great places. I'm always on Messenger, Facebook, you know, promoting and doing things. So sending me a message there, or my website has everything, my email.
Yes, and all the things. Well, perfect. We will definitely pop them all in the show notes for our listeners to hear, but it's just always good to voice those ones as well.
If you're curious, you do need to find Monica.
Exactly.
Monica, in one of her many good spots.
Exactly. Yes. There's
Thank you.
Monica, thank you so much for our conversation today. I definitely feel like, for me personally, taking away that judgment is only an opinion of you, or, you know, only an opinion. So I suppose I'm thinking about opinions of myself and things like that. I think that one's been just such a beautiful takeaway. So I'm sure you dear listeners would have gotten something as well. But that was just something that has really stuck to me today.
Yeah. It's a beautiful one.
It is. Monica, thank you very much for your time and your love, and keep helping people, because it's people like you in the world that just makes it a greater place.
Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you very much for doing what you do. You're bringing it into the light as well. So thank you.
Wow, wasn't that an epic episode? I love these conversations with. They just make my day, my week, my all the things.
Yeah, Fiona, you're right. It's one of those things that we always feel that what is said is what is needed to be said. So I really truly hope that you guys have gotten something as we have out of this episode.
And let us know. Get in contact with us. Please. We would love to chat to you.
Yes.
Shoot us a message on our Insta or our Facebook, and definitely leave us a review.
Definitely. And guys, look, how you share the love is by actually sharing the love. So make sure you share it with your friends. Let people know, because that's what keeps us doing what we're doing.
Exactly. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.